And welcome back to Straight Talk. Thanks for being with us. A bipartisan bill introduced this short session in Salem would raise Oregon's state transient lodging tax to fund wildlife and habitat conservation. The measure, called 1.25% for wildlife, would increase the tax from 1.5% to 2.75%. Our Tim Gordon sat down with two guests this week to break down what this bill would do.
And joining us today to talk about the bill, Dr. Srishti Kamal, Deputy Director of the Western Environmental Law Center, and Danielle Moser, Wildlife Program Manager with Oregon Wild. Thank you both for being here so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
All right, Danielle, I'm going to start with you because you're closest to me, and we're going to talk about 4134, what it does, this bill. It's 1.25% for wildlife. What problems do you think it's going to try and solve?
Yeah, well, to start off, so this legislation is a smart bipartisan investment in Oregon's natural legacy that protects wildlife, safeguards human health, reduces wildfire risk, and strengthens local economies while making sure we don't increase cost of living for Oregonians. And what it's seeking to solve is Oregon is in the midst of a global extinction crisis, and it's affecting us here at home. We have over 300 species, 321 to be exact, that are in greatest conservation need. And so without intervention, they run the risk of going extinct. This is compounded by the fact that we have no dedicated funding at the state level for the recovery of these species and their habitats. And to make matters worse, the little bit of funding we were getting from the federal government has been zeroed out. And so the increased number of declining species, coupled with the fact that there is no money, is making this problem worse and why we're looking to pass this legislation.
It sounds like there's a lot of work to do and just not a lot of funding to do it. Anything you want to add to that, Srishti?
I want to just add that in addition to the investment for imperiled species and wildlife and habitat around, it is also an investment into our economy, because our tourism industry, the backbone of our tourism industry, is our nature. People come to Oregon because of our beautiful outdoors and all the recreation opportunities it provides. It's a $16 billion consumer spending industry, and it supports 2.6% of our state's GDP, which is higher than the national average. So this is an investment into our local economy as much as it is an investment into our nature.
Let's talk about that then as well. This would raise the state transient lodging tax by 1.25 percentage points, right, from 1.5 to 2.75. Who pays this, and what would you say to Oregonians who worry about a tax hike here because of affordability or tourism issues?
That's a great question. So the tax is implemented at hotels and lodges for overnight stays. So that's where the tax is implemented. It is not, what is unique about the TLT compared to other taxes is that it is not a cost of living increase. It does not affect your food, groceries, transport, education, healthcare, things you need to survive and enjoy your life in Oregon. What it is, it's in a way a choice tax, because you choose to travel, and when you choose to stay overnight, that's when you pay this tax. What is also unique about this tax is that this is paid largely by non-Oregonians.
Sure.
65% of visitors to Oregon are from out of state. So this is largely taxing non-Oregonians who are coming to Oregon to enjoy our resources, and now we'll have a means to pay into the recovery and conservation of these resources that Oregonians also depend on for their livelihoods, for their public health and safety.
So the lodging tax will go to 2.75 on the state level, but a lot of communities, including the ones on the coast that are really tourism-oriented, have their own local lodging taxes as well. Is there any concern there that adding more to that, because the total is much more than 2.75, will hurt tourism in any way?
Sure, and you know, you mentioned it. So this legislation is specific to the statewide lodging tax, because the state legislature oversees that. And so there are varying local transient lodging taxes that vary in the amount that they levy on hotels and lodges. However, irrespective of that, the trends we are seeing, the data shows that tourism is doing really well all across Oregon, including here in Portland. And so for us, visitor volume, visitor spending is all on an upward trajectory, and we believe that tourists and Oregonians alike think this would be a necessary thing to invest in that safeguards this resource for the future and make sure that we do have whale watching on the coast, go
right,
see tufted puffins, go see birds in the Klamath. And if we don't reinvest in that, it will not only hurt those species, it will also hurt tourism.
Right. And if you already said this, I'll just emphasize it. I believe Oregon has one of the lower lodging taxes in the country, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
got
yep.
one of the lowest in the country. And to add to what Danielle was saying right now, data also shows that tourists and tourism volume does not respond to moderate changes in the state transient lodging taxes. Oregon has seen a shift in our own state transient lodging tax few times in the last couple of decades, and Montana and Vermont increased their transient lodging tax in the last 10 years. They're similar states to ours in depending on nature-based tourism, and their visitor volume kept going up. So data shows that moderate adjustment to that tax does not really deter tourists.
Yep. And if you've got great places to visit like we do here in Oregon, people
absolutely
will come.
Absolutely. Right?
You know, last session, lawmakers, some of them argued that if wildlife is a statewide priority, why isn't there just coming out of the general fund? Why isn't there that for you? What do you say to that?
You know, I would say that advocates like us and many others have been going to the general fund asking for these to be funded for decades, decades before us, and now, you know, with Tristy and I working on that. And time and time again, it is not funded. And that's in large part because there's a lot of priorities for the state. And so when you have to make those general fund dollars go further, certain things are deprioritized. And unfortunately, fish and wildlife and the conservation of those resources tends to fall to the bottom. And that's the reason for why we need a dedicated source that makes sense, that has a nexus with the tax itself, to be sustainable and to be something that the agency and those that are working on conservation can depend on. Because recovery of species is a long-term game. It's not a, okay, we got a POP funded, which is a policy option package that is part of a budget cycle. It can't be a one-off thing. It needs to be dependable. And the general fund has just not been delivering, to be honest.
Got it. Well, supporters of this bill say it would raise tens of millions of dollars a year for multiple conservation efforts. Your supporters, what specifically, briefly, would it support?
So many things. So first and foremost, our State Wildlife Action Plan, which is this blueprint for how the Department of Fish and Wildlife would recover our most imperiled species and their habitats. And so a majority of that money will go to the what we call the SWAP, to be invested in programs like monitoring, having more researchers, implementing habitat restoration programs and the like. It goes beyond that. Anti-poaching, invasive species control and monitoring, wildlife stewardship, helping people who are living in close proximity to wildlife be able to do it in a non-lethal way and for the agency to be able to support that coexistence. And the list goes on and on and on.
Right.
The other piece is helping with landscape resiliency in the face of wildfire. So investing in wildfire risk reduction, community resiliency, and ensuring we have a workforce ready to go into natural resources.
All right.
This is also why this bill enjoys the bipartisan support it does, because both rural Oregon and urban Oregon sees a value this bill brings, whether it's, you know, invasive species in eastern Oregon dealing with weeds and grasses, or in our Willamette Valley with Chinese midden crabs showing up in our rivers. You know, all of these are issues that affect all Oregonians, doesn't matter where you live.
Great. Yeah. So there's coverage across the state.
Yes.
Right, Trishy, let's talk also about some of the animals specifically that this conservation work would benefit. We're showing you some video, I think we can show you, of the Northwestern pond turtles. I had the pleasure of meeting just a couple of months ago for a story that we did about them. The ODFNW has a habitat set up, and they're working on that in Yamhill County. Really enjoyed meeting those turtles, and they're beautiful, but they're on this at-risk list. Oregon's conservation strategy identifies about 300 that are. You know, what are some of these that you feel are the greatest need of protection?
That's a perfect example, actually, the turtle, because the challenge with funding is that our dedicated funding for ODFNW is primarily limited to species that are hunted or fished. Whatever funding it receives from federal funding sources, as well as the funding it collects from hunting and fishing license sales and dollars, are limited to species that are hunted or fished. These kind of species are not. The example you showed is a perfect one for that.
Right.
And so this is precisely why we are seeking this dedicated funding. There's other species, whether the new species that got added, like the California condor, the sea otter, North American porcupine. It used to be a common species, and now it is on that list. So it shows that common species are nowadays, unfortunately, not as common. And the whole purpose of the State Wildlife Action Plan is to keep common species common, because as soon as they start circling the drain towards extinction, the cost of recovery and conservation goes significantly up. If they end up on the Endangered Species Act, the cost for their recovery is also pretty expensive. So this is why it's important to invest now when they are in this list, besides when they go up to the ESA.
Absolutely. Okay. Another piece supporters highlight is money for wolf-livestock conflict, including compensation for ranchers. Talk about that, Danielle.
Sure. So the state has a program that if a rancher, you know, has predation by a wolf on their livestock, they are eligible to receive funding for that loss of that cattle. And then also there's a lot of money in that program to go to implementing non-lethal measures on the ground to help avoid conflict in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so that is a component of the bill that has some funding going directed towards that. And obviously it's a piece that brought in support from Eastern Oregon and those living kind of in wolf country. But yeah, that's essentially what that program does. And, you know, we would like to see especially the investments in that non-lethal side so that we can avoid conflict altogether.
Yeah. Is there a legal aspect on that you want to mention?
It's just that in Oregon, wolves enjoy a very different classification because of the federal listing on the western side of the state. They are under Federal Endangered Species Act. On the east, they are not. So compensation and coexistence rules become especially important when you have regulatory mechanisms on the ground.
Yeah. Excuse me. Just about a minute and a half left, but we do want to talk about animal crossings, wildlife crossings, too. Mm-hmm. So important. We've got some of them. We need more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Connectivity is another piece in the bill. You want connectivity in terms of infrastructure, such as underpass and overpasses, but you also need connectivity of key connectivity corridors, areas that are important for animals to travel through, but the condition of those areas are poor. So habitat restoration and key connectivity corridors are also critical. And this bill does have dedicated funding for habitat connectivity areas through ODFNW.
Great. Well, it's a short session. Didn't get it finished last session. Mm-hmm. What are you feeling about the chances of making it happen?
I mean, I think we can just speak to the breadth of support for this legislation, right? We mentioned it has bipartisan support, so Democrats and Republicans alike. We have over 70 organizations of hunter, angler, agricultural-focused organizations that support this. There are over 100 and growing number of businesses in tourism and recreation who support this legislation. So, and I believe we have 26 co-sponsors. So
wow.
We feel like the work is being done and people are seeing the need now. We know there are a lot of priorities and things to be focused on, but we think this should rise to the top and we urge our Oregon legislators to be there with us.
Yeah, you've got a big army there. Last words?
Just that we hope that the legislators see the value this brings for all of Oregon and that all of Oregon is behind this bill. So we see this as unfinished business from the last session and we are doing everything we can to push this through in this short session.
All right, House Bill 4134. Good luck with it.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
Danielle Schuste, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Good conversation on an important topic.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
And thanks so much for joining us here on Straight Talk. A programming note, during the Olympics, Straight Talk will air only on Saturday and Sunday. And a reminder, you can stream Straight Talk on your own schedule anytime. Just download the free TV app, KGW+. It's available now on Roku, Apple TV, and Fire TV. We'll see you back here next week.